Now that we've talked about nights, we can talk about the stage that happens before nights, because these are night wannabes, and we call them pages, just as they would in Camelot. And these are the little boys who chase after the knights and are delighted to get to hold their horses while they mount up and ride off onto their adventures. And they dream of having their own adventures. So the stage of page begins when a little boy is born. And oh my gosh, they are so delightful and so different than little girls. And the biggest mistake that we make with them is trying to have them behave like little girls, because these are little men. They're little men. They're knight wannabes. They live for conquest and challenge and adventure. They like things to be hard and then to master them. And they get frustrated when they can't. And we need to let them be frustrated and work it out instead of intervene and try to make it all nice for them. And this is a lesson, by the way, ladies, for men of all ages. Let him be frustrated. Don't try to make it nice. It won't work. You probably remembered those moments. These guys will drive their mothers crazy because they are programmed to take risks. And they will do things that are dangerous. I remember Jeff climbing up to the 5th or 6th stair and going, "Look, Mom!" And then he launched himself into the air. And I'm imagining all these broken bones. And of course, it never happened. But they'll jump from the highest place they can find. They'll lift the heaviest thing that they can muster and strain and strain and strain. And they're just looking to test themselves and challenge themselves and conquer and accomplish. And if they have a bunk bed, they're not going to climb the ladder. What would be the fun in climbing the ladder to the top bed? Like a monkey, they're going to find another way to get there that's much more interesting. And why should they take the ladder down when they could just jump and give their mother a heart attack? I think they especially enjoy that part. So this is going to last from birth until puberty, which can often make the transition from page to knight not so noticeable because they're so much alike. But if you want to pay attention when you've had a knight wannabe grow into a full-fledged knight, what I've noticed is that in that transition, when puberty kicks in, there are qualities that are inherent in being a man that kick in a huge way in that moment. And one of the biggest ones is loyalty. So where before he may have had friendships that changed or exchanged themselves, when a young man goes from a page to a knight, being loyal to his friends and his friends being loyal to him becomes of critical importance. And that's one of the ways that you can tell the transition. Now, to complete talking about pages, one of the biggest mistake of all that we make with pages is expecting them to behave like girls. So expecting them to be hygienic, expecting them to be quiet, expecting them to care about being neat or clean, any of those ways that we would want to suppress them and have them behave. You need to behave, which is just another word for stop doing things I don't like. interesting concept. Misbehaving shows up very early in our relationships with men. And we try to get boys to behave, which, should we do a little sidebar on behaving? Behaving means nothing to to a man. It means everything to a woman. We have a voice in our head that describes exactly what behaving means. To a boy or a man, it just means suppress yourself. And the problem is there's no access to winning. And for all men, and starting with being a page, they'll only participate in something they can win at. So instead of telling a page, this little man, to behave, you'll be much more successful if you tell him exactly what actions will have him be successful in that situation and have him earn a reward, which meant he won and he got the prize. You'll be much, much more successful than if you just try to suppress everything you don't like by telling him to behave. So that's one of the biggest mistakes we make with pages, is just trying to suppress them because they're so rambunctious and out of our control from the very beginning. And it wasn't supposed to be like this. We were going to mold them and model them and turn them into these wonderful little people because we thought that was our job. Which brings up another mistake that we make, and I'm talking now to mothers and fathers, and another mistake we make with pages is not understanding the dynamic of both the feminine and the masculine in the raising of a child, and we haven't understood how important the masculine is, even because it's so painful to us as women to watch. And what I'm speaking about is that magical and paradoxical combination of unconditional love and judgment, real judgment. And whoever the unconditional lover is will not want the child to be judged too harshly, but it's necessary. And it's especially necessary with pages because a man's judgment, whether it's his father or his teacher, his coach or his uncle, any man that he respects, that man's judgment is the trellis that vine's going to climb. And that man's judgment is what has that very small man begin interacting with his own honor. And this is what it is to be a man. This is actually what all the stages of development are about, is a man interacting with his own honor, interacting with his own sense of self, his own sense of rightness. And you could describe the stages of development, or you could describe a man's life as a process of having life, of having the world, at least his world, be a reflection of himself. That as he interacts with the world from who he is and an ever-evolving sense of who he is, having how things go in life be consistent with his own sense of self and what's important to him. And as mothers and fathers, that unconditional love and that judgment that says, no, you're better than this, is critical. And one of the mistakes that we make is out of our love for our children, trying to spare them that judgment. And that's a very big mistake. Another mistake that we make with pages, again, we repeat it with men of all ages, but it is the most visible at this stage. And that is not understanding what it means to a man of any size to be bored. As women, given the way that our brains are set up with what I call diffuse awareness, which diffuse means to pour in every direction, with diffuse awareness, we are pulled by our environment in so many different directions that we almost never get bored. We rarely have the opportunity to be bored. And so we don't understand boredom. And I used to have this, very arrogant view of boredom. And I remember when Jeff was little and he came to me and he said, "Mom, I'm bored." And I actually said to him, "Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff." I actually said to him, "Well, I would be embarrassed to admit that. I mean, what a lack of imagination it must take to get bored." Oh, geez, I was hideous. I so didn't understand. When he was a little bit older and some of my arrogance had thankfully been replaced with curiosity, I asked Jeff what it was like to be bored. Could he describe that to me? And he looked up at me with those big brown eyes and he said, "Oh, Mom, it's like dying real slow." And I got it. And a few years later, when I had learned that men's brains are wired differently and men have what we call single focus, which means that they commit themselves to one thing at a time, and their minds, without any effort on their part most of the time, just naturally screens out, tunes out anything that's irrelevant to what they have committed themselves to. And it works completely different than a woman's brain. And what happens when you're a single-focused, committed human being, you're a lot pickier. You're a lot pickier than someone who is driven to multitask and pulled in every direction. Because you're only going to do one thing at a time, you're going to spend your life on one thing at a time, it needs to be worthy of you. It needs to be worthy of your time and your energy. And when a man of any age says that he's bored, what he's saying is that he hasn't found anything that is worthy of his engagement. And especially when a page is saying that he's bored, I would react very quickly to try to provide some options for him. Because if you don't, he's going to solve his problem. He's born to solve problems, and he will solve that problem of being bored. And you may not like his solution to that problem. This brings to mind, by the way, the phenomenon of a man watching television with the remote control in his hand and flipping through the channels. And as a woman sitting next to him, we've already seen many, many things we would be happy to watch to their conclusion. And he keeps flipping through the channels, and unbeknownst to us, he's looking for something that is worthy of his considerable attention. And how many times I've seen a man flip through the channels, and what do we have now, hundreds of channels? And then turn off the television with the statement, "There's nothing on." And it took me a long time to figure out that what he was saying is, there's nothing on that's worth my engagement. And once I learned that, it was really cool. It's like, oh, it takes a lot more. Since he's only going to do one thing, he's going to make sure it's worth his life. And I think that's a really cool thing. What's great about pages, if you have an opportunity to have one of these small men in your life, gosh, they're so worth celebrating and enjoying them. They're so interesting, I think, because they're so interested in many things. And again, if you're willing to listen to them share their adventures without judging their adventure, trying to pull a lesson out of that adventure or improve upon it or think there's a problem to be solved, if you're just willing to listen to their adventures, they will delight you. They will delight you with their tales and their thoughts and the connections and the conclusions that they make. Another thing about pages that is another thing about men, and it begins very, very early. They're born with it. So don't wait until they're much older to nurture this part of a man. And that is the innate desire to be a hero, the desire to make a difference, the desire to matter, the desire to have an impact, the desire to help, the desire to provide what's needed, the desire to save the day. And one of the most important things that a mother or a sister or a teacher or a grandmother can do is to let these men contribute to you, let them help you, let them provide that critical difference. Give them opportunities to be your hero. They don't need you to do everything for them. They are born with a need to be self-sufficient, and offers of help can be hurtful and insulting to them that you don't realize how big and strong they are now. And in fact, they're so big and strong that not only do they not need your help, but maybe you need theirs. Maybe there's something that they could do for you. And any time or energy you spend looking for ways that this little man can make a difference in your life will be time well spent.